This week in the Famicom Dojo podcast, we talk about the Super Smash Bros. Nintendo Direct and contemplate the future of the console market in Japan, assuming it has one. Future Retro is more retro than future, and we see the return of a previously Future Retro title to the pile of shame. It's too hard to think of a clever quip to end the intro this week. I'm just going to go watch more Game of Thrones.
Proud of me.
Sure, always. Why?
Oh, good. Because I tweeted something for the first time in I think since February.
Ah, welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, I know. Yep, I'm hip and I'm with it.
You're so hip you have trouble seeing over your side.
Indeed. So this is a response to a tweet Nintendo of America made. That I noticed when I came on my phone this morning.
You're laughing. This isn't a good sign.
No, well, I mean, it was funny. I got a good chuckle out of it, but it's one of those oh Nintendo type laughs though.
Oh geez, okay. I'm going to look this up. You tell me what happened.
Well, the tweet was, and it's been removed now. But if you. If you are following us on Twitter, you'll see a nice little screen capture. Because I mean, when you see this, you know it's going to get taken down immediately. So,
yikes!
Save it for prosperity.
Posterity.
Posterity. Wow. Okay. It's not a word I use often in Japan.
Right on.
And it basically. Obviously, this doesn't represent all of Nintendo. I mean, it's not like they're speaking with one voice here, but it was pretty hilarious because it says, and this is from Nintendo of America's official Twitter, the Warp Zone made its first appearance in Super Mario Bros. 3, letting players jump from world to world.
Wait, Super Mario Bros. 3?
Yes. Now, I know, but
Nintendo.
Don't worry, the world has us to correct to, you know, I really think Nintendo should subscribe to our Twitter feeds so they know about the games they made.
I can't be too disappointed, I guess, because you know the interns run these Twitter feeds, right? And I bet this poor kid wasn't even born when this game came out.
No, I'm sure he wasn't, but I mean, there's not a lot of research that needs to go into that, you know, but what, yeah. So at first, now at first there were some defenders on there going, oh, it's just a little typo. Nintendo meant to say the warp whistle made its first appearance in Super Mario Bros. 3.
Well, and even then.
but even then you got Zelda, which had a warp whistle before even that. So.
Oh dear! It's just too hard keeping this trade. I mean, who could possibly do it?
It went down 10 minutes later, but Nintendo, come on! And like, I understand if it was Sony and Microsoft because they got a lot on their plate. But all you guys make is games. That's all you do, and all you make is Mario games.
yeah. Well, or like peripherally based Mario stuff. Like, did you see the Nintendo Direct for Smash Brothers?
I watched the first like 15 minutes of it, but I've seen it summarized all over the place. Yeah, that's a bit disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, so for those who didn't watch it, it was kind of long, right? Like,
yeah, it was like 45 minutes. That's why I haven't watched it yet. I was gonna watch it last night so we could talk about it today, but I fell asleep during it.
Oh dear. Yeah, it bits and pieces. The gist of it is that the same roster between both games on 3DS and Wii U. We've known for a while it's gonna be.
That was announced a long time ago, though. I kind of wish they could do cross-play there, you know, like kind of if they do have the same roster. But I guess the stages are different, and obviously it's going to handle different.
Yeah, the stages are different. Even the stages that are the same across the consoles, you know, the Wii U ones are punched up graphically considerably.
Well, I would hope so.
Right. But the big clunker came when they announced that the 3DS version is going to come out this summer, and the Wii U will be delayed until sometime this fall.
It's meant to die.
Yeah. And you know why this frustrates me? Because I just feel like Nintendo is kind of its own worst enemy when it comes to getting the Wii U. Any traction, because I mean, here you have a game announced for both platforms, both of Nintendo's platforms, which it seems like a good idea on the surface, but
I don't even think that was a good idea.
You don't?
I mean, okay, definitely. I know where Nintendo sees the yen here. You know, I mean, people have been asking for a portable Smash Brothers for a long time,
right? But like maybe a different game, you know, one that you can't play on a console, and
exactly. But oh man, it's Nintendo, but really? Okay, even when they were both coming out at the same time, I thought that was a bad idea. I thought the Wii U version should definitely come out first, and then after it's, you know, it's run its course, then you release the portable version and you know, double dip. You know, because the version people want of this game is portable anyway. I mean, yeah. Everybody has a 3DS. If this would have been one of the few things that would have gotten a lot of people to buy a Wii U, because
right.
Smash Brothers has a very loyal fan base.
For sure. I'm definitely buying this game, but like my decision was which platform to buy it for. So when it was announced, you know, when we thought anyway it was going to be on both at the same time, I had to kind of weigh my pros and cons. Like, how much do I play my Wii U? How much do I play on the TV even? And then like, how much do I value my money? Like the 3DS version is $20 cheaper.
Yeah.
So I was leaning heavily towards 3DS, and this clinched it basically. There's no reason to buy the Wii U version at all. Like, I might get it later, but if I already played the game, my curiosity will be sated.
I'm going Wii U first.
You're gonna wait?
Well, yeah, because I really do think it's gonna be the definitive version.
I don't know if I can wait.
Well, I mean, then don't. but like, that's the thing. You are much closer probably to the target audience than me, and I don't think a lot of people are going to wait. And I think a lot of people are going to get Smash out of their system before the console one comes. So, Nintendo needs to make a first person shooter where the only enemy is their foot. Because they're constantly doing this stuff.
I feel like it's like a double entendre about how well Nintendo fans play first person shooters as well. is that even like a true stereotype?
I don't think so, actually. No. Because the Wii pointer for aiming actually makes it really easy to get off headshots and stuff.
Well, I guess there was like the Wii version of Resident Evil 4 that I never finished playing. Yeah. Well, that should go on my pile of shame sometime. I'm writing that down.
I still have it. It's shrink-wrapped.
Oh, goodness.
I played the GameCube one. But then I stopped playing the GameCube one because I heard the Wii one was coming out. So I bought the Wii one, and now I don't play either of them.
Oh, jeez.
That happens. But no, that's... Nintendo finally had like an in to really have a killer app for the Wii U. And they just squandered that.
I don't get it. I don't understand. It seems like every once in a while they realize what they've done wrong, but then they do something or say something that makes me wonder, and then they do something like this, which makes me just proves beyond a shadow of a doubt they have no idea.
If they really are trying to kill off the Wii U, bravo, you've done it, you know. But I mean, I know that that's where their money is, and what's going to make more money for Nintendo in the short term, at least this will. But if their platform can't survive, and what they've got this and Mario Kart, I can't even think of another game that's on the horizon that Nintendo that's going to do anything. I mean, there's X, and that's a killer app for me. But, you know, it's going to sell 100,000 copies, 200,000 copies. You know, it'll be profitable, I suppose. But, I mean, it's not going to move tons of hardware. It's going to sell to the people who already have it.
Yeah, probably.
But, like, there's... I mean, some of the decisions, I know it costs a lot more to make a Wii U game than it costs to make a 3DS game, but, like, why wasn't Luigi's Mansion 2 on the Wii U?
Right.
You know, and things like that, you know, they... And Kid Icarus Uprising would have worked so well on the Wii U. You know, just a lot of things like this, It's not too late, Nintendo. You can still port those suckers.
Well, maybe it is. You were telling me something interesting about how well consoles are doing in Japan.
We have consoles in Japan?
Well, maybe I've misheard.
Gosh, it's a sad state right now. It really is. And I think that's probably why Nintendo's decision to put development into getting the 3DS version out first, because that platform still has a chance. But console gaming, unless there's a major shift, is on its way out. It's dying in Japan.
Now, see, I wouldn't have believed that if this was the first time I'd heard it.
Yeah.
Because... I mean, look, you know, the PS4 and Xbox One are doing reasonably well. I know there's a lot of doom and gloom about, you know, day and date launch to now not comparing to last generation, but.
Well, okay, I guess let me deconstruct that statement first.
Okay.
And, you're talking about the Xbox One, for example. That's sure. Not even out in Japan.
All right.
And frankly, if I was Microsoft, I don't know if I'd bother.
Especially if it's region-free. Just let the importers get it from wherever else.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it'd make... It probably makes sense to launch it, because if they ever have any plans for Japan in the future, just to make that little foothold. But I mean, or if they want Japanese developers to make games for the Xbox One, you know, they should at least feel that they have... That, you know, they'd be able to play the game they created, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would be Microsoft doing a favor to Japan rather than really any idea of, you know, making a lot of sales.
Yeah, it's unfortunately true. They've never really gotten a toehold before.
I think that's what one thing I should say, though. Like, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One outside of, I mean, in Europe and in America, they're doing great. They're doing great. Xbox One is selling more than the 360, launch aligned. PlayStation 4 is selling more than anything. You know, it's doing, the Wii U is hang in there, buddy. No, the console market outside of Japan is doing fairly well, but within Japan, it's dire. A lot of people went, okay, you know, because it's been on the decline for a number of years, and first of all, like the market was on the decline even before last generation started, but the Wii U kind of saved it. I mean, not the Wii U, sorry, the Wii, the original Wii, because console gaming was kind of on the decline and portable gaming was on the rise. PSP and Nintendo DS were far outselling all the other consoles. And then the Wii happened, and it kind of revitalized that. And then finally, PlayStation 3 picked up steam near the end of its life.
Literally.
Yeah. Not in Japan.
I suppose.
But it seems like Japanese developers have just now finally figured out how to program for the PS3. And they must be like, oh, man, new hardware.
But it's x86. Everyone does x86.
That's, well, not in Japan. Why would they do it in Japan?
There's PCs in Japan, right?
Yeah, but PC gaming's not a thing. Unless you're talking about, like, porn dating sims. And those are pretty much made in Flash and then just ported over.
Jeez.
No, PC gaming in Japan is not like PC gaming elsewhere. It was a ways back, you know, in the heyday. But right now, if you go to a store that sells PC games, you've got your Final Fantasy 15 or 14 or whatever the online one is, and then you've got
14, I think.
And then you've got a bunch of Korean or Chinese developed MMOs that have been localized to Japanese, and you've got some East games, which always get their ports, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it is just this vapid wasteland of like erotic or semi-erotic PC like simulation games.
Oh boy, can I?
No, I mean it's really sad. I mean, there will be you'll occasionally have the PC ports of things that have been released on console already, but they don't sell well at all. I mean, a lot of people don't game on PCs in Japan right now, unless it's like MMOs and stuff. But which is sad because it used to be a huge, huge, huge market back in the days of the Sharp X68000, the NEC like PC 98 series. PC gaming was huge, huge in Japan. But it just kind of it went over towards consoles, whereas in the West it continued to evolve on the PC.
And now it seems like the consoles are dying.
I think consoles have a bright future still in the West. I think they're doing pretty well. And I should say right now that a lot of this is speculation based on fact rather than fact based on fact.
Uh-oh, okay.
I should point that out. I mean, I'm not saying that consoles are already dead or dead for sure in Japan, but it's just going that way.
You shared some stats with me, though, that were kind of damning.
Well, okay. I think the one that I told you that really kind of surprised you was, like we've pretty much recognized that the Wii U is pretty much a failure, right?
Unfortunately.
You know, it's just not doing well. And it was a huge disappointment in Japan. Huge disappointment. It took a long time for it to reach its first million, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it picks up on holidays, but other than that, it's selling like, you know, 10,000, 15,000 a week. Which is, I don't know.
not great.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
Well, it's bad. That's like Xbox 360 sales from a generation ago.
Oh, that's even worse than I thought. Okay.
And now that's bad because Nintendo was a major force the last gen. It was the top selling console, you know. Mm. But everyone was waiting for PlayStation 4 to be released to revitalize this dying market.
Sure. And you know, come to think of it, I remember this now. It was actually released last in Japan, strangely enough.
Yes. Pretty recently, actually. Like last month.
Wow.
Not that long ago. And it came out, and it sold very well in its first week, just like the Wii U did. But now, launch aligned, it's trending below the Wii. The Wii U,
what?
Sorry.
Really? Yeah.
And as I said, 360 is not even, I'm sorry, the Xbox One's not even here.
Yeah.
So what you've basically got is two consoles basically selling a grand total of, give or take, 30,000 units a week. And that's how much each of these consoles' predecessors would sell, you know? Okay, and here's the other one. It is being outsold 2-1 and sometimes 3-1 by the PS Vita.
No. Isn't the PS Vita a failure?
Yes. Although, you know what? Japan might turn this around. I mean, it's definitely... I mean, even in Japan, it's a failure compared to, like, the 3DS, but it's getting a lot of games recently. Like, more than the 3DS is getting.
You know, when I heard that Sony was pushing the PS Vita as the secondary screen for the PS4, kind of like, you know, the gamepad, I was thinking, oh, Sony, you're never going to push PS Vitas that way. Now I wonder if they're trying to push the PS4 instead.
Well, kind of. I mean, have you heard about the Vita TV?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's not selling very well at all. But, like, I mean, I can, for the price and with Vita's library being what it is, I think that's the smart money right now if I was going to buy a Sony system right now.
Man.
And I don't even like the Vita TV, but Vita's been getting a lot of really good games in Japan. In Japan. I should point that out. Very few of these are actually coming outside of Japan because nobody's bothering in the West because of how badly the Vita's selling. You know,
this is really shocking me though. Like, shouldn't I thought that the mobile market outside of iPhones was supposed to be dying too?
Well, are you ready for more bad news?
Are you kidding me? Okay, lay it on me.
It is. I mean, it's doing much worse than last. The PSP was selling better than the Vita, and the DS was much better than the 3DS. There is definitely a lot of market share being lost to mobile. And I saw a statistic. I'll have to look it up to post on our notes. But apparently, right, mobile has made more money than dedicated hardware for the first year now. In Japan.
No.
So games like Puzzles and Dragons and Final Fantasy Give Us Your Money type game have outsold like real games.
I weep for the future.
When you go to any convenience store in Japan, there's this entire section with like point cards, you know. And, you know, you can get your Nintendo points cards there, your eShop cards, you know. But a lot of them are for these different mobile games because kids are playing these and kids don't have credit cards. So they're spending right. their earned allowance on nothing. I'm sorry. I am bitter. I'm bitter. But no, they're spending it on the ability to not have to play the game that they love so much. And I weep for games. But that's the way it's going. That's the way it's going. And PlayStation 4 was the chance to turn it around. And it's just not doing that. And the Japanese game companies have no one to blame but themselves. Oh, and I don't know, their customers. But
right. There's
no Japanese titles coming for... There were almost none at launch. Japanese developed games for the PS4.
Sure.
I mean, I'm trying to think of a Japanese developed game for the PS4 other than Metal Gear Ground Zeroes, which was essentially a very expensive demo disc. Did you hear the controversy over that?
No.
The average play session time for this game, which sold for $40, not $60, but $40, is 2 hours.
Wow.
But if you know where to go and what to do, you can speed run it in 5 minutes.
What?
Yep.
Now, what? What is this, Myst?
No, Myst was an actual full game.
Okay.
You should look up some of that controversy. Now, of course, you can try to go about it different ways, and they have different missions. Like, in this time, when you go through it, you need to kill this guy at this time, you know, to try to extend the life of it. But in general, if you skip the cutscenes and stuff, yeah, you can beat it in 5 minutes. I'd like to say that was hyperbole, but it's not.
That's insane.
There's videos of people doing it. So it looks pretty, though. But anyway, okay. So we got that Japanese developed game, and I'm trying to think of other Japanese titles on the thing. I mean, there's a couple up ports. No, I can't think of anything. I'm sure there are some. I just can't think of them.
So what happens now? Right? Like the only foreign-made console is Microsoft's. And yeah. They've never had a toehold in Japan.
Yeah.
Nintendo and Sony, Japanese companies, like two of the most valuable companies in the country.
Yeah. In the world.
In the world. And they can't seem to make this happen.
Well, I mean, the thing is, both Nintendo and Sony maybe don't need to make this happen. Let me explain.
Okay.
Nintendo is making money hand over fist on the 3DS. I mean, not as much as they used to make, you know,
sure.
DS days. And the Vita is selling well enough in Japan. I guess maybe not. I'm sure Sony's not happy with that though, because it's a abysmal failure outside of Japan. But I mean, you know, it's enough to make them hold on. But it's just like third parties are still making games. You know, like take Phantom Pain, the upcoming Metal Gear game.
Okay.
It's going to be out on PlayStation 4, but it's also going to still be on PlayStation 3, giving people less incentive to upgrade.
Right.
Titanfall is available for the 360, and apparently that version is almost as good as the Xbox One version.
Yeah.
Minus some of the shaders, and like it's graphically
half
not
the frame rate.
Well, not half, actually. You can lock it at 30, and so that would be half the frame rate if the Xbox One version was at 60, which it's not.
Oh, it isn't. I thought it was at 60.
No. Well, it might hit 60 sometimes. It's a very inconsistent frame rate.
Oh, dear.
Going up to 20.
Wow. But
the thing is, with the Xbox One, I mean, they're still getting used to it. They can probably patch that sucker up, you know?
Well, maybe, unless it's a hardware problem. I mean, we showed last week a video of playing Mario Kart 8 at 60 frames per second. Yeah. There's actually instructions, if you go to the show notes, by the way, listeners, yeah. Go to the show notes, we have a video there, and the video tells you how to watch it. You have to have the HTML5 version or like a plugin installed on Chrome, or there's a way to do it in Firefox too, which never got to work. And it lets you watch it at twice the speed so that you can get the effect. And it looks really good, honestly.
Mario Kart 8?
Mario Kart 8.
I'll have to check that out. Oh man, Mario Kart 8 looks so good.
Here's the thing, right? Like, so in contrast to Smash Brothers,
yeah.
I didn't pick up Mario Kart 7 because I only got my 3DS recently.
Okay.
And because Mario Kart 8 was coming out so soon, I didn't feel like I should pick up 7.
I think
they're different games, so I don't feel like I have to.
Different.
If they weren't different, I'd just buy 7 and be done with it.
They're both probably worth having, but I mean, I've always preferred console Mario Kart to portable. I don't know. I think it's just because I don't really play it alone very much, and like I find that Mario Kart is best played when you've got like four people on your sofa. Kind of yelling at each other, blue shell, you know. So that's how I like to play it. I don't know, and I had bad experiences playing Mario Kart DS, the first one, online, because it was just all cheaters.
Well, hey, you know what? You're in luck, because at the end of this month, the online services, the Nintendo Wi-Fi service for both the DS and the Wii U, will be shut down.
Oh yeah, I'm in luck.
Well, I just got that Wii Mini a little while ago, right?
Yeah.
And it came with Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah.
And I played maybe all of one match. You know, I put the disc in my actual internet capable Wii and played some online stuff. And that was all right, you know. Nothing spectacular, but I could do it at least. And now I can't, and I'm kind of seeing what the point of the Wii Mini is that if they're going to get rid of all the online features anyway, it doesn't matter if they can go online anymore or not.
Yeah.
Although you're supposed to be able to still download Wii Virtual Console stuff and DLC, to my understanding.
On the Wii Mini?
On the regular Wii.
Yeah. Well, for now.
Yeah, for now, right?
We'll see. Kind of want a Wii Mini.
They're all over. There's no shortage.
And there's Nintendo shooting themselves in the foot again. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got this brand new console. We'd really like people to... Oh, let's release the console we already have in a way that makes it look like a new console, confusing the customer a little bit, and charge way, way less.
you know, instead of pushing the next generation version that can do everything that Wii Mini can do plus some.
Yep.
Although I guess the one advantage it does have over the Wii U is actually comes with a remote and nunchuck.
Well, a lot of Wii U configurations do now too.
Well, not in the States, they don't.
Really?
Yep.
Is that Japan and Europe exclusive? Because Europe has a number of them, and Japan has. I think it's hard to get a Wii without a nunchuck now.
At best, I've seen a Pro Controller pack in.
Huh, that's interesting. I guess I haven't really been following.
Right, it's like, go ahead, use the Wiimote. Oh, you can't because you don't have any devices that came with your console that work with it. Like you literally can't get back without resetting your console. It's kind of a huge oversight.
I mean, there's where we've got it. I mean, the decisions made this generation just okay. I like the Wii U gamepad very much.
Absolutely.
But it was probably a mistake, you know?
No, I'm not going to go there. No. Here's why I don't think it was a mistake.
Okay.
At least until I got my new configuration and a room where it's more or less soundproof from the rest of the house, I would play on the gamepad most of the time because too. I could do it almost anywhere in the house, and I didn't have to use up the TV.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I love that. I absolutely love that. But it is definitely a feature that you don't realize how good it is till you already own the system. So it doesn't sell systems.
That's true.
That's the problem. Oh no, I love it. Like, and my Wii U, even if I owned a PlayStation 4 right now, my Wii U would get a lot more play just because of that. I don't know. That's the thing. I'm having so much fun this gen with the Wii U, but its future is bleak.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, you've heard the rumors, right? Like there's the facts that Nintendo's merged its teams for the mobile and console development now.
That is the rumor, and
well, I thought that was a fact.
Okay, that's a fact, but
that's a fact.
The rumor is what that means for the future.
Right. The rumor is that they're going to have some kind of console mobile hybrid.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too. And it seems like, given the state of consoles in Japan, that's probably a really good idea.
Frankly, I would be entirely in favor of them basically making a handheld that has... that's basically a portable Wii U for the next generation. And hopefully compatible with the old games, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing away with the DS line, 3DS line, you know.
That would be huge.
Maybe adding a 3D screen to something that looks like the Wii U gamepad. And having that be the system.
Sure, I mean, but it would have to have processor stuff on board, and then what would need a base unit for at that point, right?
Well, you wouldn't need the base unit. Basically, my thought is you'd put in like a little dongle into your HDMI port, kind of like the Chromecast that picks up the signal, and your portable is the transmitter.
Oy. Yeah, and I guess since we already have wireless. Other controllers, then you don't have to worry about having ports on the thing for multiple players. But I mean, you know, portable, like, you know, consoles use up a lot of power, don't they? Like you can't expect that thing to run on battery. Like maybe that's like a docking station you can stick it into, but then you can't use the controller itself as.
Well, we're talking a couple of years in the future, but already the Wii U uses less power than the Wii.
Really?
Yeah. It's incredibly low power, which is probably why they didn't. Which is another dumb decision. It was Nintendo was touting this as like this is the lowest power using console, whatever. And everyone's like, Nintendo, nobody asked for this. We want a powerful console.
Yeah, but you know, think of the country it's being developed in that has occasional brownouts.
Well, yeah. Well, never in my area, but
you know, you're not supposed to like run your you know, people don't use dryers in Japan.
You know? All right. Yes, that's true. That's true.
Nowhere I've been has central air, unless you're like in an office building.
That's pretty rare. Yeah. But anyway, I don't know, but everyone was hoping that, including me, my money's on the Wii U this gen. I really like the Wii U. But I wanted the PlayStation 4 to succeed. I really wanted it to succeed.
Well, if it succeeds in the rest of the world, though, which it seems like it's going to, what does that mean for Japan, that is?
Oh, I'll tell you. Japan better get used to Western games. No, I mean that. And they are starting to. They are starting to. The Call of Duty, not Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto 5. Sold, it's still selling. It's probably going to be the first Western game that's a million sellers since Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong's a Western game? Oh, you mean the retro ones?
Rare.
Oh, the rare ones, okay.
Yeah, I don't think the retro ones maybe crossed over to a million. I'm not sure. I haven't really been following it, but before that, the first Western developed game to cross over the million was like Donkey Kong Country 2 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very rare for a non-Japanese game to... I mean, they sell.
Rare.
They sell, but Japanese gamers are going to have to get used to first-person shooters and bald space marines and... you know, hip hop culture.
Oh, goodness.
But because the Japanese studios are folding left and right, and the ones that do remain, like Square, are trying to make more Western focused games. And Capcom is trying to make more Western focused games.
And yet
games.
The success of Bravely Default.
Okay, Bravely Default was definitely a success compared to expectations.
Okay.
But it's not a million seller. It's not going to be anywhere close. It's going to sell like 200,000-300,000 units.
That's it?
Yeah.
Man.
If it's lucky. I mean, and that's great though. A lot of Japanese games, especially Japanese portable games, never do anywhere near that. It's a huge success, but it's not a success that's going to turn the tides. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Even if it sold a million copies, you know, it would need to be, I mean, okay, I think it's accomplished one thing. Hopefully it makes Square take a couple more risks for localizing things that they wouldn't normally localize.
I hope so too. And I think that's what a lot of Western gamers are hoping for. Although, you know, we got Lightning Returns recently.
Well, that was assured. That Final Fantasy sells better in the West than it does in Japan.
That's insane.
But like we haven't gotten a lot of Dragon Quests.
I know you haven't played Mass Effect really, but the woman who plays Liara, Allie something. I forget her name.
McBeal. Okay.
No. She voices Lightning. And what I don't get though is that it sounds like she's like this stilted, not well known American actress who typically overdubs anime.
Yeah.
But she's not. Like, you know, she's done a great job as Liara in the BioWare stuff.
Yep.
In Mass Effect specifically, but like just the way she's directed, I don't get it why she sounds so stiff.
Well, because Lightning is a terrible character.
Fair enough.
That's fair.
I'll never play this game, probably. Square.
Nobody wanted more Lightning. Nobody was asking for it. We had enough. We had more than enough. We didn't need Lightning to return. We needed Lightning to go away.
Lightning strikes twice. Oh, they missed an opportunity there.
No, it was the third game, so.
The third one?
Yeah, Lightning Returns is Final Fantasy 13-3.
What was 13-2?
Terrible. Well, no, actually, the gameplay system was probably better. Actually, I hear 13-2 is actually a better game than 13, but it didn't sell very well. No, really? Lightning Returns is the third game featuring lightning. And it's the
I stopped following Final Fantasy after 10.
Nobody asked for this.
But I don't know, it's out. Some people I know like to play it.
It's the only game to sell 2 million copies on the PlayStation 3.
All right.
Windows had like 15 titles that have sold that much, but you know, PlayStation 3 just has more games in general. But but you know, it sold incredibly well. But then the second one sold like 800,000, and then the third one sold like 200,000, which is sending a strong message that like even games that are considered fairly mainstream, like the Final Fantasy series, have just they're appealing only to the otaku now. And the otaku market is not big enough to support, you know, everything. That's the thing. Games in Japan and anime in Japan, even more so than games, is just absolutely becoming too focused on this tiny niche market. And they're losing the mainstream.
To mobile.
Yeah. But like, anime as well. Like, anime used to encompass a wide variety of genres and styles, and now all it is like this, you know, moe crap. Sorry. Wow. Coming off really bitter today.
No kidding. All right. Let's move on. How about future retro? Assuming retro has a future.
No, retro is the only thing that has a future.
Oh dear. Okay.
Because that's what happens. If games go entirely Western focused and it's all brown and gray color schemes and stuff like that, I'm just gonna pull the plug, and I'm just going to go back and play the thousands of games that I've already bought that I haven't played. So, okay, and one of those games will be Puri Luda. I hope I'm saying that right.
I can't even. That doesn't even sound like words to me.
L I R U L A. It is a 1991 arcade game by, I believe, Taito, and I'm playing the Sega Saturn port, which is apparently arcade perfect. That was released in 1997, and it's just ridiculous in a good way.
How so?
It's a 2D game. It's a beat 'em up like, actually, I was going to say Final Fight, but I think it'd be closer to like The Simpsons arcade game, if you ever played that.
Sure.
Because the characters are like 2D animated, like sprite-looking type things, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or The Simpsons arcade game. Okay. And go through beating up a bunch of wacky-looking enemies, but just some of the level design is just ridiculous. Like the second level, you're going through this, I don't know, art gallery, funhouse thing, and you get to this one stage where there's just two giant, like, legs sticking out through two holes, like through two windows, and they're very clearly women's legs, and it's kind of a spread eagle position. Door where there shouldn't be a door, and pink elephants come out of it.
Weren't you just complaining about anime not being any good?
If anime did this, I would watch it. If it was like pink elephants emerging from ladies' legs hour, I'm there.
All right.
And this, I don't know. It's a fun game. It's bizarre. It mixes kind of like some digitized images, whatever, with this cartoon setting. It's, I don't know. It's a lot of fun, and I have a video that I'll send you. There's a playthrough. Don't watch it if you're planning to actually play the game, but like if you just want to see what it's about, I've got a video of someone playing through the whole thing.
All right.
Okay. How about you?
Another Steam game. I've been having this Steam renaissance lately.
Really?
And I've you know, part of the problem was I didn't have a place I could download stuff. So, like, for instance, I bought FTL at, like, Will Wheaton's suggestion because it was only $4. I'm like, okay, haven't played it yet. But I wasn't able to download things like Gone Home, for instance.
Okay.
So, you know, that made it onto my Future Retro last week, I think. And but I wasn't able to play it for weeks until I was able to get to an internet connection with the computer that has Steam on it. And so while I was downloading that game, I was over at a friend's house. Hi, Neil. And I played some games with him. And one of those games was Long Live the Queen. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I think is that the kind of surprisingly violent one?
Is it violent?
Maybe not. I might be thinking of a different one.
It's kind of like it's set up like a Japanese dating sim, but yeah. It's really like, you know, you're a princess growing up to learn how to, you know, be the ruler of your country kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the same one. Yeah, like there's some really crappy things that happen, and from what I understand,
you can die in like 1,000 different horrible ways.
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry. I might be thinking of a different game, but I think that's it. It's very anime style.
Yeah.
I think that's the one.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I mean, you'll long live.
there's apparently just the one scenario. So if you don't know what's going to happen ahead of time, it's like really impossible to, because you're like, you have like these morning, evening study sessions, and you get points, and your mood alters how well you can learn certain subjects. So, but there's all these intrigue going on outside of that, and I guess it happens the same every time. So once you learn the pattern, you don't have to worry about it anymore. But the first time through, you have no idea, and then you just got to kind of make your luck as you go. So I think it's interesting, and I want to get my own copy now so that I can try it out. But yeah. It was really weirdly addictive.
Those simulation games and me, we I enjoy simulation games, but I have to limit myself from playing them because they have a tendency to take over my life.
Yeah.
Delete game dev story from my phone because occasionally, like once every couple of months, I'll just pick it up and then my weekend is gone from me.
This is why I don't play Civ 5 anymore, despite that the expansions apparently make it amazing.
I've got it on my computer, but I'm worried to start because
the
original Civilization is all I can remember from high school.
Don't do it. It's my wife practically divorced me from playing that game too much. All right. Since you're going to put this game there anyway and leave it there forever, how about Pile of Shame?
Pile of Shame. Not proud of this one, but it's Street Fighter 4.
That's a not new game anymore.
No, it's not. Well, although it's new for me. I got it pretty recently. As I said a couple weeks back, I got an Xbox 360. And I wanted to get some software for it, and man, games are cheap in Japan for that because nobody wants it.
I bet.
I think I paid like $5 for Street Fighter 4, maybe less.
Wow.
But got it, and I also got Blaze Blue and Dead or Alive 4. I just picked up a whole stack of games for like $30. I don't know. I guess I've just not been in the mood to start it. I don't know. I was a big fan of the, you know, Street Fighter 2 series, and I quite like Street Fighter 3 and the Alpha series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's because it's 3D or something. I don't know. I just haven't been able to get into it. How about you? Did you play that one?
It came out a little after Soul Calibur 5, did I think?
Yeah.
The people I was playing with for Soul Calibur 5 would play that game also. And they also played the new Mortal Kombat game that came out.
Okay.
So I got some exposure to Street Fighter 4. And, you know, I never really latched on to fighting games in the past. So, but you know, I was familiar enough with Street Fighter II, and it's enough of a cultural touchstone that I was interested in trying it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like the cel shaded anime ish style. It's fun. I like it. You know, there's a 3DS version that doesn't sell very well, apparently.
Yeah, but apparently it's really good. Like, it's one of the more impressive titles for it, and it was a launch game.
Was it? Wow, I didn't know that. I have Volts, I think, for my phone.
I have 4 on my phone, and actually, I played that a lot more than I played the console one, despite the controls being pretty whack.
Didn't we play that at TGS last time we were there?
I think we might have, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was Tekken versus Street Fighter or something. Or
no, there was the mobile version.
Oh, that was Street Fighter 4 Volt. Yes. That was the updated version. Yeah.
Got it.
And I have that too. And it's not bad. It plays very fast. But I think I've kind of realized why it's on my pile of shame rather than my Hall of Fame. Than my future. I mean, I'd be willing to call it future retro because I think people are going to be playing it for a long time. But it's on my pile of shame probably because my Xbox 360 has only one controller right now.
Oh, well, there you go.
Really? And I'm not paying for live, so it's just single player for me, and I can pretty much see why I'm not really getting into it so much.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think if I had either a second controller or enough disposable income to go on live.
But who would play with you if you had a second controller?
Oh, I don't know, Sarah. I think I could beat her.
Just as you keep light kicking and then you're done for.
That's true.
Just give her Chun-Li.
Yeah, she'll light kick me to death. Yeah, I guess you're right. Who would I play with? I don't know. My brother comes over sometimes to play games, but I don't know. If I'm gonna play a fighter right now, I think it's gonna be. I think I need to finally crack into Tekken Tag Tournament 2, and which is also on my pile of shame. Or, I don't know. By the time I have time for fighters again, it'll probably be Smash will be out. So
yeah, true. Yeah, it won't be much longer.
No, I'm buying it though.
Okay, but you're gonna wait for the Wii U version.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm not gonna buy a second 3DS.
Right. Right.
Or pay ridiculous import fees, because if I pay the fees to actually get an American version of Smash here, it's gonna cost me just as much as getting the, you know, getting the Japanese version.
Yeah,
so.
Makes sense.
I mean, not I'm getting the Wii U version is what
right,
I meant.
Right.
But. No, I need my polygons. I need it to look beautiful. Now that I heard that Zero Suit Samus is a playable character.
Yeah.
Yep.
So my pile of shame is pretty shameful.
Okay. Share with me your shame.
I think this game was on the pile of shame before. And then it was on Future Retro. So this will make the first time not only that a game from the Future Retro has come to Pile of Shame, but that has made a full circuit as well.
Oh, don't tell me. No, no, no. You gave up on Pikmin?
A little bit.
Oh, it's so good.
So I really liked it, and I played it really obsessively for a while.
Okay.
I was like getting all the fruit, and I wasn't really progressing in the game at all.
Okay.
Which is fine. So then I got to the point where I couldn't do any of the side stuff anymore, and I had to keep going forward in the story. And I did, and I got to this boss that I just was having the hardest time beating. So I tried like 3 times, and I ran out of time during the day every single time.
Yeah.
I think I looked up finally how to beat him, and I just didn't have the heart to do it. Yeah, and a lot of stuff's been happening lately, so you know the Wii U was packed up for several months.
Yeah,
but now it's out, and I'd rather play like Zombie U, which is also on my pile of shame, or you know just watch new episodes of Community or Cosmos or something. But yeah, I really need to play this game again because I like it so much. But I just can't bring myself to do it with all this other stuff. Do you know where I went last weekend?
Oh yeah, you went to Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, I was at Midwest Gaming Classic in Brookfield. I guess no, not Brookfield. Brookfield?
I think it's Brookfield.
It's in Brookfield now. It used to be in Oconomowoc. Anyway, meaningless to those who don't know the Milwaukee area. And I picked up a whole bunch of things that are going to be on my pile of shame too. I don't want to rehash it because I'm going to have a video, a vlog about it, about my haul and the adventures there. But I did want to bring up some things that are going to be on my pile of shame until I get around to playing them. I picked up Bible Adventures and Exodus.
Nice.
Since we talked about those games, we put up that episode about Wisdom Tree.
Yeah.
The clip show of our audio bonuses, and it got me thinking about that stuff. So I had it on the brain, and I saw one of them. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try and find as many as I can. I found two.
You get a good deal on those?
Yeah, they're less than $10 a piece.
Oh, nice, nice. Just the cart, right?
Just the cart.
Yeah, it's and hard to complete these days. Yeah,
the labels are a little, yeah, they look all right actually. And then I got a game that I didn't know existed, which is the Tengen, yep. Whatever. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
What?
Didn't know it existed.
Wait. Is it a regular release or is it a black cart?
It's a black cart.
Really?
I have all the regular releases. I think they're Pac-Man, Gauntlet, and I forget the third one. But
Pac-Man, Gauntlet, and there's one more. But Gauntlet was re-released as a black label as well.
Yes, it was. As was, yeah. Pac-Man.
Pac-Man got a black label?
Yeah, I have it.
Really? Because I've got the original card, but really, I'm surprised Namco went along with that.
Right?
That's so surprising. I know Miss Pac-Man was black label.
Yep, I picked that up too. But so what I was told when I told some people at the show was that apparently it's a port of an arcade game. So we'll see. I'll give that a shot and let people know. I'm sure I'll do about that at some point. But my favorite haul from that was I found a copy of a Data Series game, specifically Wrecking Crew, with a converter card in it.
Nice.
So that's going to prove a point for an upcoming video that we're going to be doing that we actually already recorded like half of it so far. And great. It's I asserted this must be true before knowing for a fact it was true. So now I can just drop the footage in. Yep.
Good. Good. It's good to know that we're not full of crap.
Well, I thought it must be true, and I'm sure I saw one of those games on an official list somewhere, semi-official list of a converter cartridge game. So I'm like, yeah.
You bought like 1,000 copies of Excitebike looking for a converter,
right? It's all part of the video. You'll see when we get it done. But look forward to that. Either on this podcast or on our YouTube channels.
Should I talk about my haul?
Sure, go for it.
I found a site that was like clearing out laser discs, and I bought about 100.
Was it like 50 cents a piece or something?
They were cheap. I mean, some were more than others. Like I paid some actual coin for the Back to the Future trilogy with all the special stuff. It was like this collector's box that like folds out, really neat, really heavy. but I mean, yeah, a lot of them were like 50 cents a pop, and I don't know. I paid more for some of the rarer stuff. Like I got these gameplay strategy laser discs.
Okay,
and they were a lot more. Because they're rare. Like they were put out like how to win at video games, you know.
Type of thing. Okay.
Fighter and King of Fighters and things like that. I'm still looking for some of the ones based on shooters like Darius and things like that. But
Okay.
Yeah, and I picked up all of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
On Laserdisc?
Laserdisc, yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
And all of Neon Genesis on Laserdisc weighs about 15 kilograms. So about, I don't know, 25, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Really heavy.
More like 35 pounds, I think. 34. But, so
I'm watching, like, you know, Laserdisc pretty much doesn't have any movies before the year 2000. So I've been watching all kinds of 80s and 90s movies recently. I watched War Games again.
Oh, jeez.
And as I said, I watched Back to the Future too. And watching it on Laserdisc is the way to do it. Because Back to the Future 2 is all about technology that never really, you know, like, what were they getting? They were getting faxes in that movie. Mm-hmm. And actually, if there's one scene where they've got, like, where they're out kind of by the dump, I think it's when they're getting the money from the future, from Doc Brown or whatever.
Yeah.
But background, there's these piles of, like, recycled laser discs. Like, this is your day to bring out old laser discs.
Nobody has that stuff. You know, the thing I'm waiting for is for the weather forecast to be that accurate. We got a year to go, guys.
Yep. I know. I'm also waiting for the Cubs to win the World Series. And the whatever Jaws movie will have holographic displays. You know what? Okay, future. Let's listen to me right now. I know you listen to our podcast, future. So I'm going to make a deal with you. You don't have to do any of the things for the Back to the Future. You don't have to have the redesigned Coke can. You don't have to have the robots being servers. I just want a hoverboard. The rest, we can get to later on.
Well, we are getting those sneakers that we mentioned in our Top Rec Acquired episode, which if you haven't listened to that, I think I've mentioned this is like the third time now I've put it in the show notes, but you should go listen. We should talk about the Famicom Dojo episode that Zach and Adam and Ernie did. Next time. We'll talk about that next time.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Oh, so no. It's been out for 2 weeks.
I know. I'm so bad.
Ah, jeez.
Shame.
All right. So. Yeah. Before we go, we're at episode 92 right now.
Yes.
Which means in 8 episodes, we're at 100.
Woohoo! Never thought we'd make it that far.
I want to say I've never done 100 episodes of any podcast before, but that's not true. there was the Powit cast.
I think the Four Color Rebellion cast may have made it to 100 as well. So
awesome. So yeah, we should have actually reached this milestone probably sometime in 2013, but we had a really light year that year.
It's your fault for having a baby and moving.
Yeah.
And
career changes and
yeah, and then
stuff.
Okay, I had a baby in there too. And all right, if we want to get to 200 faster, you got to make it. No more kids.
We can literally do this in 2 more years if we have no more children.
No more children.
All right. All video games. So yeah, we want to do something special.
Yes. So people might remember a number of podcasts before that. At a time when, I don't know, maybe it was when you were having a kid. I don't remember. But we weren't able to
It was get episode 60, I believe. So, yeah, it was afterwards.
We weren't able to get a podcast together. So I put together some clips and a little bit of new stuff and put together an episode called This Famicom Life. And I figured it would be a kind of a just a placeholder, you know, just to give something. But it actually got more comments than many of our other episodes. And I've been asked a number of times to do another one, and this might be good. I mean, I could fill it up with old stuff or write some new things, but really, I think it would be more fun if like the actual program, This American Life, from which it is shamelessly parodying, that we have contributors. I would like submissions, and we got some time to do it.
Yeah, so that 8 weeks, assuming we don't have any gaps. But yeah, we're probably going to round up some people that we know to submit something as well. But and obviously we can't use everything unless we don't have that many submissions. But you know, we're sitting on some voicemails that we haven't played yet. We should probably do that next week as well.
We
typically do something every 25 episodes for a listener appreciation episode, but we missed it around episode 75.
Yep.
So consider this our thank you to you and making it up to you by doing this for episode 100, I think.
So if you have now the topic that we're going to try to go with is growing up a gamer, you know, being so some stories of when you were younger, what games meant to you, or things like that, some kind of impact. And like This American Life, it should a story would be great. I don't know if you have an old just a memory of being a kid and being a gamer, or even being a big kid and being a gamer. What it's meant to you, how it's affected your life. That's the type of thing we'd like to hear about. But if you have anything else to submit, any story at all, really, that has anything connected with gaming, we'd love to hear it. And or you could write a song.
Yeah, we're open to a whole lot of things. So, you know, we're not really asking people to, like, you know, edit their own segment or anything like that. Oh. You can just call in like normal to our phone at 608-492-1923. If you just want to leave, you know, up to about a 3-minute voicemail. Yep. You can rehearse, write it down first, you know, and just read it off.
Yeah.
Do it again if you feel like you make a mistake, but we'll edit it for you. You know, yep. We'll be nice like that. But if you want to edit something and turn it in, we'll take that too. Although in that case, I recommend emailing us podcast@famicondojo.tv just to give us a heads up.
Also, if you find yourself as you have a story to say, but you don't have the voice to say it, you're pretty shy about possibly being on a podcast, send it to us as an email, and I will dramatically read it.
Or one of our celebrity voice casts.
One of our celebrity voice casts.
Quote unquote celebrity. Maybe we'll have the Famicom read it.
Time when I was playing a game. and don't feel embarrassed if you feel that what you have to say isn't very important, because whenever you get nervous or whenever you think that you don't want to make any kind of mistake, just look back at Nintendo of America's Twitter feed and realize that you're never going to screw up that bad.
Or just look at us. We have no shame.
Oh, no shame. No shame.
All right. I think that's good for this week. So, please send us your voicemails. Always send us your comments, of course, at famicondojo.tv, or Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all Famicom Dojo. And again, our number is 608-492-1923. What am I missing?
Zune,
of course. All right. Until next time, the dojo is...
probably doomed.
Not again.
If Japanese games dry up, what are we going to talk about? I am not playing Call of Duty.
Said dude.
Famicom Dojo.
Should we start recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
Oh, okay.